Thank you very much. Well, initially, actually, I just want to jump straight in, but it's wonderful to see Marva here besides everyone else. It's been a while since you've been here, so good. And I know part of the reason why is because of Greg getting baptized and the involvement there. But I do want to just share a little bit about baptism. Amongst the older members of the congregation here, many of us remember going to Bill Gothard Institute in basic youth conflicts and maybe the intermediate. Yes, many of us do. The basis, I mention this because the basis of that seminar and the reason why he got into it is that these youth conflicts that he examined in the workshop setting, these youth conflicts, his premise, and it just is true, lead to adult issues. The things of youth can lead and are the basis of things in the future. There's a verse or some verses in John's letter, his first letter, 1 John chapter 2, 12 to 13, where he says, I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven you for his name's sake, and I've written to you, children, because you know the Father. When we were establishing a school back in England, you've spotted my accent if you are sort of visiting a guest here. I have lived in England for a little bit. I learned an accent there. But we were setting up a school there, and we had someone come in who said, from these verses, he said, you know, the important thing to aim for in terms of educating little children is to get into them an understanding that God is their Father and that they are forgiven. And if you can get that much into your little children, then when they get older, they've got a firm foundation. I know for myself, and I think there'll be others here who would agree with this, that when I've been involved with sort of ministering into people's lives at a later age, there's an enormous amount that comes down to the facts that they don't really understand, they don't really believe that God is their Father. They don't really understand the basis of their forgiveness. They don't understand who they are and who they were and who they are now. And it's on the basis of that that other things develop and cause problems in their lives. And that's why I want to take the time today to say a little bit about baptism, because there's an enormous amount in this. And as we said earlier, and I saw nods and smiles and all this stuff, there's an ongoing revelation in our lives as Christians about what baptism means in us. So that's where we're going today, to establish or talk about, to refresh our understanding, renew our understanding, maybe add to our understanding of what baptism is about. I'm going to start with a verse that, for myself, I know it well, but I often don't think of it in terms of baptism. I'm going to start with a verse that actually was read earlier, Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. These verses we know are commonly referred to as the Great Commission, and often there's this emphasis on them about go and make disciples. But I want to pick up on the baptizing part of it. There's a number of questions about baptism, and we're not going to get into them all. And I hope I'm not speaking too quickly. I often go a lot slower than this, but time is of the essence. So I'll sort of go at a pace I hope that we can all keep up with. But there's a number of questions to do with baptism. One is to do with, you know, is it a sprinkling, a dipping, or is it an immersion? And those things are issues amongst some of the church. But of greater issue is the aspect of baptizing being a soaking. First century world, in the cloth industry, you know, you have a raw piece of cloth, and if you're going to dye it, it would be to baptize that cloth. You would dip the cloth. And those of us who have ever done, you know, that sort of dyeing of clothes, you pull it out, and typically that cloth is not soaked, saturated with the dye first time round. You have to plunge it in and plunge it in and plunge it in and screw it up and plunge it in again. And even after that, you end up with tie-dyed sort of things. But it's this soaking, to be absolutely soaked and saturated in what you are being baptized into. And these verses, or this verse, says that we should be baptizing people, and people who are baptized should be absolutely soaked in the Father, in the knowledge of the Father in them, the knowledge of relationship with the Father, the knowledge of being part eternally of the Father's family. To dispense with entirely the understanding, and I know this is not our understanding, but to dispense with entirely that there is a God of the New Testament that likes us, and there's a God of the Old Testament who doesn't really like us. But actually, God, who is Father, inhabits us and fills us, and fills us with a fathering nature, that we care for people. Brothers fight. Okay, brothers don't always fight, but brothers fight, siblings fight. Fathers look after the family. Fathers take the hit for the family. We should be soaked with the Father. We should be soaked with the Son, Jesus. And most of us understand that far more readily in terms of baptism. That baptism, and we'll get into this later, it's a sharing in the life of Christ. It's a sharing in the work of Christ. And again, with the Holy Spirit, we understand something of baptism in the Holy Spirit, of being filled and soaked with the Holy Spirit. To be soaked in these people. It's a great, I was looking at a video on YouTube, and I thought about showing it, but it showed, it was a science experiment. Some of you might remember this, but you know, in chemistry, science says, you know, you can get a solution of something, you can get a saturated solution of something, and you can get a supersaturated solution of something. And it means kind of what it says. The supersaturated solution, or is you know, as much salt or whatever has been dissolved in this, the solvent, water, whatever it might be. But a supersaturated solution, by some sort of, you know, means, even more has been put in this solution. To the point that if you just tap that sort of flask with that solution, the crystals, the what is in it, start to emerge. Or if you drop a few crystals in of whatever it might be, sugar, salt, whatever it is, then this crystal begins to emerge. And that's how we should be, this understanding of baptism, is we should be so soaked with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit, that they should emerge within us. Later in the book of Acts, for example, Acts 16, 1048, 19:5, we find that the saints, in all the sort of details, all the examples given in the New Testament, we find that the saints were not being baptized in the name of the Father, in the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're being baptized into the name of Jesus. How can this be? It's a little bit confusing. And I know I got an email from someone. It was one of those sort of anonymous emails. But I got an email from someone. It was delivered to the church website, that asked me whether I baptized people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or I baptized people in the name of Jesus. And I can't remember the details of my reply to this person, but then he clearly didn't agree with my answer. He said, "You clearly don't have revelation about this." It's a little bit of an issue for some people, but it's clear from the New Testament, from Acts, that in Acts, people were baptized into the name of Jesus. Why? How does this fit together? Well, Hebrews chapter 1, here are two examples or two pieces of evidence as to why there could be and why it's justifiable to have this shift from being baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to being baptized into the name of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1, says this, and I've sort of clipped out a few bits, I've just truncated it, but I haven't robbed it of its meaning. God, in these last days, has spoken to us in his Son, who is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. That the Son, Jesus, is the radiance of the Father's glory. He's the exact representation of his nature. In John 17, Jesus talks about the Father being in him and him in the Father. To be baptized into Jesus, you are being baptized into the Father as well. In Acts chapter 16, verses 6 to 7, Luke writes and says that they, it's Paul and others, they passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And after they came to Mysia, they were trying to get into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. These verses point to the fact that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is also the Spirit of Jesus. If you want to know who and what the Holy Spirit is like, then look at Jesus and see who and what Jesus is like. Of course, it's a little bit sort of chicken and egg, because all that we know about Jesus is because of the revelation that the Holy Spirit gives to us. In our natural state, we would remain ignorant totally. But it's the work of the Holy Spirit in us that softens our heart to receive him, opens our ears to hear, opens our eyes to see. But if the Holy Spirit opens our hearts and eyes and understanding to understand about Jesus, then truly we understand about who and what the Holy Spirit is like, the character, the nature, the compassion, the love of the Holy Spirit. So today, these people are going to be baptized into the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But we'll be saying we're baptizing you into the name of Jesus, into the person of Jesus. But it is our desire, the desire of Jesus, the command of Jesus, is that people would be baptized, soaked, immersed in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's Trinitarian belief. Too often we can kind of drift into a Unitarian belief, even if we don't adhere to a Unitarian theology. But it's all three that we need within us, and the purpose of God is for us to have. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures again. These have been read out. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 to 11, or 3 to 7. Okay, we'll stop at 7. Okay. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we've been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be united with him in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we might no longer be slaves to sin. Okay, that's where that finished. I went a little bit further. I'll read the next couple of verses. Now, if we have done... Actually, I'm going to read those later. Okay. Colossians 2 says similar things. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead, when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having cancelled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. So primarily from these verses, I just want to say a little bit specific now, about baptism, not just from the scripture from Matthew 28, just some points about what we understand is going on. Firstly, baptism is a response of faith in Jesus Christ. Often it's a public display of faith, but not always. In some countries, you know, that just isn't how it's done. But it's a demonstration. It's an act of faith in Jesus Christ, saying that not only that Jesus is God, that Jesus is Lord, but that he is my God and he is my Lord. He's the Lord of all, but in particular, he's the Lord of my life. And being baptized in Jesus Christ is to be baptized into the person of Jesus Christ, to share in his life and other things. Being baptized into the person of Jesus Christ is a baptism into his death. We share in the death, Jesus' death upon the cross. Implicitly, we are saying, you know what? I actually deserve to die. I deserve to die. But praise God, Jesus has died. And I have died with him. But I deserve to die. Thank God, because of this death, I don't have to experience death in the way that some people will experience death. Because Christ has died for me. We share in the death of Christ. We share in his burial. That our old man, our sinful nature, is buried with Christ in the tomb. And it's in Christ in the tomb. It's done away with. It's left behind in the waters of baptism. That old nature, which, I mean, it's a curious thing, and we could get into this, but we're not going to today. It does seem to have an ability to rear its ugly head in our lives. But it is dead and done. It is not me. And of course, wonderfully, and it heads to that old joke, we don't just leave them under the water, we pull them out as well. We share in the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. We're raised a new man in Jesus Christ. Many of us here who have been baptized can give testimony of that to one extent or another. I know for myself, I was about 19 when I got baptized. I'd been sprinkled, christened as a baby. As a 15-year-old, I became a Christian. It was a revelation that there is a God and all that sort of thing. I'd been brought up in a family that was, a sort of Christmas and Easter sort of attendance. And a friend, I started going to church at university, a friend was getting baptized, and it was like, maybe I should get baptized. And it just grew in me. And I went, I spoke with the pastor of the fellowship, and I decided, yes, I need to get baptized. Don't want to get into all of that story. There's more to it. But my experience, and this, you know, I like to think of myself as kind of a manly man, but so this isn't quite a manly sort of illustration, but my experience of what God spoke to me was like, prior to getting baptized, it was as though I was a butterfly. Okay, great. Okay, a butterfly, but with the chrysalis. You know the husk, the chrysalis? But it was like the chrysalis was still stuck to my back. And I could flap a jerky flight, but there was this old thing that kept on cropping up horribly. And I have to say, the picture and then living it out was like, yes, that's exactly what has just happened. It was as though in the water of baptism, you know how it is with, you know, scab or something like that. You give it a good soaking and it just comes off without, you know. And it was as though something dry and dead that I'd been lugging around with me for about 4 or 5 years was finally gone. And I could fly a beautiful flight, a manly, beautiful flight. Some butterflies are really manly. Those monarch ones that fly for thousands of kilometers. That's the sort of butterfly I am, okay? Some of the time, okay. We share in the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. And fourthly, this baptism into Jesus Christ is a baptism into the body of Jesus Christ. Jesus is not just sitting on a throne. I mean, and scripture says he is seated on a throne at the right hand of God the Father. But Jesus is here, and not just as the Spirit of God walking around amongst us, but he is here in the members of the body, a fingernail, a tongue, a knee, a leg, an ear, a nose, a mouth, but the body knitted together. A piece of the body on its own is just a piece of dead meat. A liver is really vital, but outside of the body, it's just dead. We're baptized into Christ, into the body of Christ. The body of Christ universal, as in up and down the centuries, and the body of Christ universal spread across the face of the earth, well beyond VCF, well beyond Vernon, well beyond Canada. But it does include as well being part of the body, not just universal, but part of the body local. That I am actually a member. I do belong to Vernon Christian Fellowship. I don't belong to West Coast Christian Fellowship anymore, or Borrowdale Christian Fellowship over in Zimbabwe, or the Open Church down in Surrey, or Oxfordshire Community Churches, or Saviegate Christian Fellowship, where I was baptized. I don't belong to those churches anymore, not in the sense that I belong here. And if I don't belong here in the way I should belong here, I rob the body of strength. You know, we can get along like this. And some of us can become quite adept at living without part of the body. In fact, most of us become quite adept at living without part of the body. But what a wonderful thing when the body truly is knit together as one, locally and universally. What a great glory to God. So, there's plenty more that could be said about baptism. But baptism, for you guys being baptized today, we recognize with you, we stand with you, we pray that you, that God fills you with the knowledge of this. Not just the knowledge up here, but the knowledge embodied in flesh. That you're taking this step of faith in Jesus Christ, you're taking this step of faith into Jesus Christ. We're looking to have a life soaked in the Father, super saturated, soaked in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that like that flask, just needs a bit of a tap and boof, what is soaked inside begins to emerge, that when we're touched, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit start emerging, being lived out in us. And we're trusting that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit will come and soak our lives with themselves. And then there's this ongoing part for us to play. The verses in Romans, I started to think about reading on, they go on beyond describing what happens in our sharing with the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But he goes on, Paul goes on to say, therefore, for those of you who are being baptized, for those of us who have been baptized, those of us who have shared in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. That old man does have this tendency to try and rear its ugly head again. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God, not just today in the water, but an ongoing presentation, day after day after day. Present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. That's our part to play, but he has a part to play as well. He who has begun a good work in us continues it to perfection. He works in us to work righteousness. Amen. This is a great day for you seven who are being baptized. Many of us would just love to get back into the water with you to be baptized again, because it's such a great day. Mark, back to you.